Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Let the King of our hearts be the anchor in the waves of this ever-changing world we're living in. Okay, it doesn't seem like sometimes we're in the middle of this raging storm the way the world is going. May he be the fire inside our veins because he is good. Amen, he is good, he is good, he is good. Now, I've had people complain about that song, saying, man, that's so repetitious. How many times does she have to say he is good? And I'm thinking, what's wrong if we're going to say something over and over and over again? What would be wrong with telling the people how good God is, okay? Well, anyway, the title of this morning's message is, As for Me and My House. I'm going to be in Joshua 24. That's good, Chris. Good. And Deuteronomy 6. So, Lord, open your word up to us. These are old passages, old passages. Make them come alive and new in a fresh way this morning, that we can use out there in the real world where life happens, in Jesus' name. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to this church. So on this Father's Day, we're going to look at one of the greatest leaders in the whole Bible, Joshua. His name means Jehovah is salvation. And hopefully as men, as fathers and future fathers, and even as grandfathers, we can learn how to lead our families and our households well. Not just provide for them, but to love them, to nurture them, and to teach them well. So Lord, right now I ask, give us the ability. We think we can do it in our own strength, but we really can't. Give us as men the ability. Give us the anointing. Give us your wisdom to lead well. Not just to boss people around, but to lead our families well. I pray that for all of us in Jesus' name. All right, when Moses was coming to the end of his life, the end of his earthly ministry, God chose Joshua to take over the leadership of the Jewish people and to finally lead them into the promised land of Canaan after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion, because of their lack of faith. So after Moses died, God told Joshua, my servant Moses is dead, you're up. Now don't screw this up. You must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. And then God told Joshua, that, listen to this, I promise you what I promised Moses. He said, I will, not maybe if you're a good boy, Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. That's the prayer we use when we do our prayer walk here, that God would give us every place where we set our foot when we do a prayer walk before school starts here. And he said, everywhere you go, you'll be on land I've given you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, Joshua. Obey all the laws Moses gave you, not just maybe the ones you like, but obey all the laws Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. Wow. Did you hear that? That is such a promise from God. Obey all the laws Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. Not just some things, or everything. And if you read through the book of Joshua, you'll see that when God spoke, Joshua listened and obeyed. That's what we need to teach our kids and our grandkids. Listen and obey, right? Listen and obey. And Joshua did that. When God spoke, Joshua listened and he obeyed. And Joshua's obedience to God served as a model for Israel to follow and serves as a model for every one of us to follow today. And as a result of Joshua's obedience, Israel remained faithful to God throughout his lifetime. That's what you call great leadership. That's what you call respect for great leadership. And man, great leaders are rare, aren't they? especially these days, great leaders, where are they? Oftentimes, people who are appointed or elected to leadership positions, they fail to live up to the qualities of what makes a great leader. Some abuse their power to satisfy their own egos. Some of us men, you listening, guys? Some of us men, as leaders of our families, overdo it, and we become dictators and are overbearing. That's not being Christ-like. Just bossing people around, that doesn't make you a great leader. I heard a saying, to be a great leader, first you need to be a great follower. I think there's a lot of truth in it. And then other guys are just the opposite. They fail to step up. They fail to man up to the responsibilities they have for their family. And without faithful, dependable, ethical, responsible, godly, effective leadership, people tend to wander. People tend to drift. People tend to compromise, disobey. All through the Bible, you read about God's people, not the pagans, but God's people wandering away from obedience, wandering into rebellion and sin. And then they'd have to pay the price for their disobedience. And then they would repent of their sin. And then they'd come back to following God. And then they would obey his commands again. And then they'd wander away again. And this cycle just kept repeating itself over and over. But the Bible shows us that because of Joshua's obedience, the Hebrew nation remained faithful to God throughout his lifetime. Now, I'm not saying he did everything right all the time. They didn't. They had their episodes as well. But overall, they followed Joshua as he followed and obeyed the Lord's commands. In fact, I think there's only one recorded blemish on Joshua's life. Now, in his life, not some of the people. It was recorded in Scripture when he didn't consult with the Lord about making a peace treaty with a Canaanite tribe, the Gibeonites. They deceived him, and he fell for it. He didn't consult the Lord first, and it cost him, but they got over that. So I'm just going to fast forward to the end of Joshua's life and the end of his leadership on earth. Now, at this point, Joshua knows his time's about up. He's over 100 years old. And he calls together all the people, all the elders, all the judges, all the other officials, and all the leaders of Israel. And he tells everyone, man, I am really old. He said, I'm an old man now. And you've seen everything the Lord has done for you during my lifetime. And he's reminding them of God's faithfulness over the years. We tend to forget, right? We need to be reminded. I know I sure do. And they were reminded that faith and obedience to God's commands brought them victory. I can imagine he told them, hey, do you guys remember when the walls of Jericho fell? Was that insane or what? And I can imagine him saying, you must have thought I was nuts when I told you all we're going to do is march around this city once a day for 6 days. How many of you wanted to bail out on me after 3 days? Thinking, what is this? How many stuck in there for 5 days? And then on the seventh day, I told you, we're going to march around Jericho 7 times. And when the priests blast their shofars, man, we're just going to shout, and the walls are going to come down. Sounded crazy, didn't it? I mean, let's face it, if we were there, wouldn't you think, what a crazy battle plan this is? This will never work. But it worked. And Joshua must have reminded him, it worked, didn't it? Isn't God awesome? His ways are so far greater than ours. Anyway, Joshua reminded them that faith and obedience to God. What if they failed? What if they refused? What if they said, that's stupid. We're not marching around this city. That wouldn't have happened, would it? But he's reminding them, by having faith, by obeying the God, that brought victory. But doubt, unbelief, rebellion, disobedience, that brought hardship and defeat. You would think that the people would figure out that easily enough, right? That if God brought them victory through their obedience and faithfulness, but they suffered defeat through their stubbornness and disobedience and rebellion, they would realize, hey, life is much better all the way around when we do it God's way. Do we realize that same principle still applies today to our lives? Life is much better all the way around when we do it his way. But let's face it, We all have that desire to do things our way, don't we? instead of God's ways, we do. Of course we do. We like doing things our way. If everybody else would just do things my way, this world would be a whole lot better place to live, I think. It's as if we think somehow we're smarter than God, or somehow we know what's best for us. Really? How'd that work out for Adam and Eve in the garden? How's it working out for you and me now when we continually want to do it our way? All right. So Joshua gathers everyone together for his farewell speech. He reminds them of all the times God provided for them, all the times God protected them, all the amazing ways he took care of his people, and he wants to leave them with this final instruction. He says, now fear the Lord. Now that's not being scared to death of God, but he's saying fear the Lord. That's having a healthy, honoring, reverent, holy fear of the Lord. Honor him and serve him with all faithfulness. Serve him wholeheartedly. Listen to this. Throw away all your idols and gods, that's little g gods. All those false gods and idols that your ancestors worshiped when they lived past the Euphrates River in Egypt. Throw that stuff away. Get rid of all that stuff. Some of us need to get rid of some stuff we're still holding on to. Serve the Lord, Joshua tells him. Serve only him. Him alone. That's what he's telling him. There's only one God. Not all these other gods and idols you people have been worshiping. Get rid of that stuff. Serve the Lord. Him alone. And then he tells them this in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. It's a word for us this morning, men. Don't think it's for someone else. It's for every one of us men. Joshua tells us, as he told them, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose. See, we have to choose as well, guys. Then choose today who you will serve. Don't put it off, guys. Don't put it off. Choose today who you're going to serve. That great theologian, Robert Zimmerman, also known as Bob Dylan, he wrote a song in 1979 called Gotta Serve Somebody. Anybody familiar with that song? I even have the album, right? Gotta Serve Somebody. I don't know if he was inspired by what Joshua said here, but one of the lyrics to the Dylan song goes like this, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And Joshua is telling us this morning, men, that we're going to have to serve somebody too. If you refuse to serve the Lord, he says, then choose today who you are going to serve. Make up your mind today. He's saying, do it now. Would you prefer the little g gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the little g gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living? And then here it comes. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I don't know what the rest of you guys are going to do. I don't know how you men are going to lead your families and your households, he's telling them. But as for me and my house, my family, we're going to serve the Lord. That's how we roll. We're going to serve the Lord. Is this speaking to anyone yet? Joshua's saying, I don't care what anyone else is going to do. I don't care what the current culture is wanting me to do. I don't care about what groups think is popular and how some I should show my support. I don't care about any of that stuff. But as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord, case closed. All right? Now, that's a father who made a firm decision that affected his family on some powerful and far-reaching ways. And guys, it should challenge us to follow his example. Not the examples coming out of Hollywood or New York or California or Washington, D.C. As fathers and grandfathers and fathers-in-law and stepfathers and single fathers and future fathers and spiritual fathers, we get to choose. We get to choose every day, sometimes several times a day. Are we going to choose to serve the Lord? Are we going to choose to serve ourselves and our self-centered desires? It's a choice we make every single day we're alive, several times a day. Who are we choosing? What are we choosing? Do our choices honor God? Does the way we spend our time honor God? How about the way we spend our money, which is actually God's money? He just gave us the ability and the strength to earn it. But he's given it to us to use wisely, not foolishly. How are we raising our kids? What are they observing at home? Are the things they hear coming out of our mouths honoring God? Do the things they see us doing and watching or listening to, do those things point our kids and our grandkids to the Lord? I can tell you this because you people love me and trust me, I hope. But when God got a hold of me, I always believed in God, but none of this Jesus, personal relationship stuff, salvation, born again, I didn't know what that meant. In New Jersey, when you hear somebody talk about the blood of the Lamb, you think, ugh, that sounds weird. But anyway, Tanya was small, maybe two. Amy wasn't born yet. Bobby was pregnant with Amy. I'm sitting on our couch in our living room, and I'm smoking a little hash pipe, and I'm blowing the smoke out, and two-year-old Tanya is standing in front of me amazed, looking like, wow, what just came out of Daddy's mouth? And I thought it was funny at the time, but at the same time, something struck me. What am I doing? What am I doing? What example am I setting for this child that I'm responsible for? And I knew then, man, I'm not smart enough to raise these kids in this crazy world. I need help. And Bobby had been praying and praying and praying, had friends praying for me for a long time, and that was the start of me turning from that stuff and giving it all up and saying, no, I don't need that junk anymore. It's too expensive. It's wasting too much time. I need to get my life together. But thank God for a praying wife. That doesn't give up. Anyway, don't let that get out of here, okay, Travis? Oh, man. I also... the things we're doing, you know, the things our kids are watching, the things that we're listening to, do those things point our kids and our grandkids to the Lord? And I remember years ago, before there was a Joy Christian Fellowship, and we're going on year 16, so this was 15 years ago. I was part of another church. I was doing a free lunch in the community, and I would go to little businesses. I also visited a few homes. There was this one house, and There was a young dad in there, and he had a two-year-old. He had three chihuahuas, and he never stopped yapping the whole time I was there. Kept saying, please put them dogs somewhere, you know, but it never fazed him. But anyway, two-year-old bouncing on his lap while they're both watching music videos on a computer. Now, I don't know if YouTube was showing music videos yet. I think YouTube had just come into existence. It was probably MTV. Anyway, I said, hey, man, what you listening to on the computer? He goes, man, we are watching Black Sabbath, and my two-year-old digs Ozzy. I felt like smacking him. I felt like smacking him and taking a kid off his lap and shutting his computer up. I thought, oh, I can't do that. I'm a pastor now. I got to show the love of Jesus to this guy. Now, I think, okay, that kid was two-year-old then, so he's like 17, 18 today. And you just wonder how he turned out. And I know some people have come out of horrible backgrounds, awful upbringings, serving the Lord on fire. And I know people have been in the church all their lives, and they've gone off the deep end. So anyway, but do we realize the influence that our choices, whether they're good choices or bad choices, do we realize the influence our choices have on our kids and our grandkids? Do our kids know that we value coming together as a church family to worship together, to pray together, to care about each other? Is that a priority, men? To lead your family well on a Sunday morning? We don't meet three times a week. This is it. This is all we got together. But is it important for you to be here? We don't have to be here, do we, Lisa? We don't have to be here. None of us have to be here. But what's the rest of that, Lisa? We get to be here. We get to be here. We know there are people on other sides of the world that we pray for that would love to be here this morning. And they probably would have walked a couple miles to get here. And they wouldn't need a padded chair or an air-conditioned room. They would sit on a bench or out in the sun and they would worship, and they wouldn't complain. So we don't have to be here, but we get to be here. I hope we never take that for granted. But do your kids know that? Do your kids know we get to be here? We don't have to be here, but we get to be here. You get to choose. Men, we get to choose how we're going to lead them. Every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, every day of the week, like I said, several times every day. So it's so important. So important that we choose God's way over our own self-centered ways. I can't emphasize that enough. Take it from someone who's had to learn that lesson the hard way over and over and over again. I'm not saying it's easy. Are you kidding me? It's hard. It's really hard. But it's so worth it. It really is worth it. It was hard for the Israelites, too. Remember when Moses told the people, it was back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Right? And we get to choose. Think that over. Life or death, huh? Blessings or curses, you say? Let me think. Life and blessings or curses and death. How hard could that be? How hard of a decision could that be? But it must have been hard for some of them because Moses helps them out and he says, now choose life. Choose life and blessings. How hard of a choice could that be? He's saying, choose life and blessings, Israelites. He's saying, choose life and blessings, Joy Christian Fellowship, so that you and your children may live. Here's something else, men. Something we need to do if we're going to lead our families well. It's from the Old Testament, but it's as necessary today as it was back then, maybe even more so. This is what Moses told the people. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 4, 5, and 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. He's emphasizing no other gods. Them other idols and stuff your ancestors worship, no other gods. The Lord is one. The Lord is our God. He's our God. The Lord alone. No other gods. So he's saying, hear, O Joy Christian Fellowship, hear, O tribe of joy, the Lord is our God. No other gods. The Lord alone, right? So Moses says, listen, and you must, okay? You hear that, guys? No options on this. You must love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. Not part of it. All your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and there's more, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. See, this isn't to be some half-hearted attempt to follow God when we feel like it. This needs to be a wholehearted commitment. Oh, I know that word commitment's a dirty word to a lot of people today. It's not too popular to make a wholehearted commitment to anything these days. Work? Marriage, you name it, church. It just shows how much we've slipped as a society. We like our options. I agree, options are good. The more options, the better. But I think we got enough restaurants on Paul F. Parkway, don't you? But when we have options, that means we don't have to commit to any one thing. But God gives us two options, life or death, heaven or hell. And we choose. We get to choose. Look how important this stuff is. Speaking of God's commands, verse 7, 8, and 9. Repeat them again and again to who? To your children. Talk about them. When? When you're at home. Turn the TV off for a while. Shut the screens off for a while. Talk about these commands of God when you're at home. And when you're away on a journey, on your way to Dollywood or Six Flags or to the beach. Or to the mountains, or to the lake, or to the river. Men, these directions are so clear to understand that he emphasizes we must. There is no options on this one. We must repeat the commands of God, the commands of Jesus, again and again and again and again to our children and to our grandchildren. We need to be talking about them when we're home, when we're driving somewhere, when we're lying down, and when we're getting up again. And we better be doing more than just talking about them. We need to be living this stuff out in front of them. Tie them to your hands as a reminder. Wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Put scripture on your bathroom mirror or some place where you'll see it every day, and some place where your children will see it every day too, and they'll recognize it, and eventually they'll know, that's what that says. I've seen that all my life. That's what that says. What kind of artwork do we put on our walls? What kind of music do we play in our home, in our car, on our phones? What kind of movies, TV shows do we watch? Are we making wise choices? Choose today, he says. And I want to emphasize that. Choose today, June 18th, 2023. Choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Now, two Sundays ago, we had our Joy in the Park gathering in Charleston. And we prayed for community, for true community to grow in our area. And we worshiped and we prayed into the atmosphere, right? We were filling the air. And I believe it covered the Charleston community. The park's basically in the center of the town. And it was worship going out, and it was prayer going out. So I believe we covered the community. And I got to believe it's going to make a difference. Sure couldn't hurt, could it? So I want to pray for all our men, young, old, married, single, whatever. And that will close out this Father's Day message, so you can go do whatever plans you may have for the rest of this day. Some have plans, some don't. Some have to go to work, some don't. Keep praying for Maureen Flaherty to get better. That's taken a real toll on Scott and Heather and her. Pray for Pam and Jeff as they spend some time with family now in Maine, and a lot of stories to tell when they get back. Pray for the Capehearts that they get refreshed and relax and learn 50 different ways of eating pineapple over there in Hawaii. Remember, I'm going to Utah this week. Don't forget me. Kidding. Come back next Sunday. Invite somebody to join you. Better yet, bring somebody with you. Bring your family, dads. Show them this is important to. Show them you value getting together with your tribe, with your church family. See, God created us for a relationship with him and for a relationship with others. And he created us for community, and he's still creating community here at Joy. So let's help him by doing our part. Let's lead our families well so we too can say, like Joshua said, I don't know what the rest of you guys are going to do, but as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's close this out. I want just the men to stand, okay? Just only take you a minute. Every guy, single, married, divorced, kids, no kids, young, old, whatever. And I'm going to say a prayer over us, and ladies, just extend a hand towards these guys. Agree with me. Father, I thank you for all the men standing. I know Chris is standing up in the booth, so I thank you, Father, for these men. Being a man is hard. It's challenging. I mean, there's so much stuff out there trying to take away our manhood and just render us neutered. But Lord, I pray a special blessing of power, of peace, of joy, of strength, of confidence, of compassion, tender-hearted mercy. I pray a prayer that you would give us humble, teachable, repentive hearts. I pray that we wouldn't be so easily offended, Lord, that we would be the providers you called us to be for our families, but we would also be nurturers. We would also, as we're able to, love our kids, our grandkids well, that we would represent you well. When people look at an earthly father that was never there for them, it's hard for them to think there's a heavenly father that is there for them. So let us be better examples than maybe what we saw growing up. Let us read your word and find out the responsibilities that you have for a man, for a husband, for a father, for a grandfather, for a brother, for a brother-in-law, for a neighbor, for a brother in Christ. Lord, you created us in your image, in your likeness. Forgive us where we've done a lousy job of representing that accurately. Change our hearts. You're the only one who can change a human heart. No matter how many devotions we read, how many people remind us, you're the only one who can change the human heart. And you know what we need help in. Just like David in Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Not my spouse's, not my neighbor's, not my boss, not my kids. Search me and know my heart. See if there's any ways in me that offends you, anything you're unhappy with in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Change our hearts this morning, Lord. Let us walk out of here refreshed and renewed and have a wholehearted commitment to, as for me and my house and my family, we're going to serve the Lord." I pray that blessing over our men. Keep them well. Keep them healthy. Let them love well. Let them cherish their wives. Let them honor their wives. Let them support their kids. Let their kids know that if today was their last day, that they knew their daddy loved them. God, help us. Give us wisdom beyond our own knowledge. Wisdom. It's tough. It's hard. But you've called us to this. And we know you can provide for us. So give us your wisdom to lead our families well. I pray not just on Father's Day, but every day. We honor our fathers. We pray blessings over every one of them. And the future fathers, you're the father we look to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.